Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The next day, the large crowd had come to the feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." People had come from far and wide to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. You can imagine the wide streets and the narrow alleys and the beaten pathways emptied out into a boisterous crowd. Branches chattered and banners fluttered. Officers barked orders and soldiers probably tightened their grips on their spears and their swords. Shopkeepers maybe closed a day early or stayed open and doubled their prices. Prostitutes beckoned from the shadows. Thieves rejoiced, so many pockets, yet so little time. Children played a dozen variations of tag upon those dusty streets as dogs snatched food from unsuspecting hands. Sort of like a flash mob that fell upon Jerusalem that day. People everywhere, people looking for Jesus because of his great works and his great deeds and his teachings, because they had heard that he raised a guy from the dead named Lazarus. And then he came, 1,000 pairs of eyes fixed on his figures. Beggars and royalty, priests and paralytics, the young and the old, they all stared at Jesus. Soldiers hold their breaths and hooded eyes tracking every movement. How many were there in Jerusalem that day? Had the city of 30,000 swelled to 60,000, or was it 60,000 swelling unto 100,000? If anything, the feast of the Passover turned David's city of Jerusalem into a surreal mess. Makeshift tents were clumsily set up wherever there was available ground. Prophets screeched from the temple, and desert dwellers mingled with city slickers. And he came closer, and more eyes turned upon him, and hands now reached for branches from palm trees. Palms. Palms in ancient times were a symbol of victory, triumph, and eternal life. King Solomon, if you hadn't known, used palm branches as being carved into the walls and the doors of the temple. On the island of Patmos, St. John, in his received revelation, was given a vision of that eternal day, a multitude that no one could number, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God." For centuries, the Christian church has viewed the palm as a symbol of victory that is waged by the Spirit against the flesh. Hence, we note the frequent occurrences in the Acts of the Martyrs of such expressions as, "He received the palm of martyrdom." Palms are even found depicted on catacomb tombs as a proof that a martyr was laid to rest in that place. So in Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, striding on St. John's palms, and as we sang, "To whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring," we are reminded of the arrival of a king. But not just any king, but the King of heaven and earth, the King that is to be respected and revered by all because he comes for all. The King who rides on in majesty and in lowly pomp, who rides on to die. This King of Israel, David's son, yet David's Lord, begotten of the Father from eternity, yet born of the Virgin Mary. This one who comes for me, lost and condemned creature that I am. His triumph begins now. His presence begins to silence sin's haunting voice, undoing the devil's twisted plan and unearthing the graves of its treasure, giving birth to that glorious and eternal band of St. John's vision. But the triumphant processional palm party, as you well know, was short-lived. For in the final days of Jesus' earthly life, triumph curdled into tragedy. And the victory that rose from the cross was not accomplished by some fist of a world-conquering warrior, but in the pierced palms of a suffering, dying, and dead God. For the palms, like all of life, they wilted unto death. They were ground into ashes and dust. Eden's defiant palms grabbed for a greater life, only to find sin and death now running through its entire life. Indeed, our life quickly flashes. It's like a morning mist, dust to dust and ashes to ashes. Sin and death, they crouch at every turn. They lurk behind every corner, and nowhere to run and nowhere to cower. With a faithful yet linguistic step away from the gospel narrative, as you know, a palm is also an open hand. You look around, perhaps, relatively sure that all of us who are sitting here are the honest type. We've never stolen anything from anyone. As one might say on the playground, I've never palmed a watch or a wallet, never cleverly taken someone's possessions in only appearance of being right. And yet, as we think about our life, in our current life, what have you and I palmed both physically and emotionally from one another? Because with an open palm, we can push our neighbor away. With a closed palm, we can warn with our fist. With an open palm turned away from one another, we can raise a certain index finger and tell someone what we really think about them. With a closed palm, the only dagger-like index finger, we jab one another away and we blame anyone but ourselves for the problems of the world or the problems of our life. With an open palm, we can crush one another with sweet revenge, or we can forgive and support one another in times of loss and crisis. Yes, once there were palms gripping branches. It's Palm Sunday, after all. They waved them in the air, they spread them on the ground. With palms cupping lips, they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. But wonder about those hands, those opened and those closed palms on that long ago Sunday. Were they the same hands soon to grasp stones and clubs, becoming a threatening crowd that demanded the death of Jesus and the release of Barabbas? What about those raised fists, those closed palms that accompanied that cry of crucify him? What about the palm that wrapped around a hammer and drove nails into divine, innocent flesh? In the end, the fickleness of our palm waving is well documented throughout history, even unto this Palm Sunday. So let us never forget that that first day of Holy Week was far from holy. Palm Sunday was a wreck of a day. And it's our day. It's our life. But the palms of this king had salvation written all over them. The nail marks penciled upon his flesh before the foundations of the world were even laid. The king, the sacrificial king, before all ages, comes for all ages, and was palmed upon a tree for all ages. We didn't know it at the time, just like the disciples, but Jesus was glorified upon that tree, and he showed his love with outstretched palms. He took our withered, dying, and dead palms and encased them in his own. He took hold of us, even as our palms covered our weeping eyes, the sight of his crucifixion, even as our palms demanded that he save us some other way than the way that he was saving us. For even the palm of a mother may forget the palm of her child's flesh. Even a father may forget. But this one who comes riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, this one comes to save you, and he will never forget you. He will never cease to forgive all that your palms have done and will do. For by the blood of his palms he has engraved you in his palms, and your unrighteous bloody palms are his, even as his righteous and holy, victorious and life-giving palms are now your hands, washed clean by his own blood. For within the palms of death, he holds you in the palms of his resurrecting life. There is peace this Palm Sunday, but not because of your palms or mine, but because of his. For the palms you wave and the palms of your hands are pierced with the peace of Jesus. For do you not know that Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, comes and stands among you today and says, "Peace be with you," showing you his palms? For he not only shows them to you, he begs of you to place your palms into his palms of salvation. He wants you to hide in his holy palms. For his wounds of salvation that drip from his palms drip forth Eden's fleshly newborn promise all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That I know you and I love you. That I am your Lord and I am your God. I have never left you and I will never forsake you. I hold you in the palm of my everlasting hand. I calm your troubled breast with the palm of my hand, and when you hunger for rest, I give you the palms of my flesh. And when you flood your bed with tears, I give you the blood of my palms to wipe all the fears away. For indeed you are mine this Palm Sunday, my little lamb, the sheep of my eternal hand. In Jesus' precious name, amen.